PPI.org.
Good evening. Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of the show. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Hello, Charlene.
Good evening, everyone.
And Miguel Vargas engineers this episode. Thank you, Miguel. Tonight we have a two-parter. John Scallon will be joining us in the second part, but first we have Bree Grand. Bree is a project manager of transit information for Metro Transit. Did I get that right, Bree?
That is correct. Thank you, Sam.
And we're going to be talking about the Metro Transit IRA pilot period extension. Also, all about IRA, I hope.
Yes.
So, but first, Bree, why don't you start off by telling me how you got involved, a little bit about you, how you got involved with Metro Transit?
Oh, sure, certainly. I have been with Metro Transit for about 2.5 years now, working in the Transit Information Department, which in a nutshell, what our department does is work to provide information to Metro Transit customers about when and where our transit service operates. So one of the initiatives that we've undertaken in the last year has been to pilot a service called IRA, which you mentioned. I can provide a little bit of background about that, if that's all right.
Well, I'll get to that one, but can you start out first by talking about what I think we've had IRA on once before, but I want to tell the people who maybe just be listening who've not experienced it what IRA is.
Yes, absolutely. So IRA is a service that provides live on-demand visual information assistance. By using an app and camera on a mobile device, an individual can be connected to a trained agent who can visually interpret that individual's surroundings and assist with things like navigation, reading of signs, or other needs.
And IRA can it work on both the iPhone and Android?
Yes, correct.
Is there anything else it can work on that you know of?
I believe those are the primary mobile devices that IRA customers use. IRA provides its service for customers in English or Spanish.
Oh, cool. I did not know that they did Spanish.
It's recent.
I just totally forgot. So
it's a relatively recent development.
And they're actually, so what kind of person might use IRA?
So IRA was primarily developed, and the agents who provide live assistance were primarily trained to assist customers who are blind or have low vision. And they also have assisted other customers, but that's their primary purpose.
So, and I, so IRA is used for many things, but I will tell you that I think, in my personal opinion, that it doesn't need to be, I mean, there's just so many different things that you could have them do. So usually I know that they're a paid thing, but there are some ways that you can use them free. And are you able to speak to that?
Yes, absolutely. Did you want me to talk a little bit about how to access the Metro Transit promotion, or just more generally about IRA's free service?
More generally first.
Sure.
And then, more generally first, and then we'll get into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So IRA does allow any of any customer to use its service for up to 5 minutes a day for free, any day, anywhere. It's a way that they recommend that customers get familiar with their service. And as you mentioned, you know, they, although their agents are trained to assist blind and low vision customers, they can certainly be beneficial for customers who may be neurodiverse, for example, or just benefit from being able to connect to a live person who can see their surroundings.
And I do know that there are specific places that Ira will, they can help you for free. So like, I know Starbucks is a place that you can use Ira.
Yes, correct.
Do you have a list, or do you know?
I know a few offhand. Yes. There are several businesses that have partnered with Ira, such as Starbucks or Target. Also the MSP airport here has partnered with Ira to allow free service through the airport. And the city of Minneapolis also has partnered with Ira for certain locations, such as the Nicollet Mall area.
And you know what's really weird? I was reading, and I swear I saw that the whole state of Connecticut just added them, that you could use them for free. Now, I don't know how that works. So if anybody who's living in Connecticut, since we are streaming and people can hear us anytime, you might want to check on how that works. But if you get to use them for free, lucky you, because there's a lot of things I would love to be able to just sit and call them and say, how do I do this? Have you had any experience with like hearing someone on the other side of the, you know, that is interpreting?
Not personally myself. No, I've been in communication with several customers who have been more regularly engaged in our pilot program to offer Ira for free. And they've, the feedback that I've received so far has been very positive, that the service has helped in situations that were very challenging for navigation, such as a construction zone, for example, something that's mm-hmm. unexpected and might require detouring from your normal route.
Because the agents I will put in are trained. So they are trained to call it audio describe or read what they need to do. And I've used them personally for various things like reading a packet of seeds if I'm gardening. Or if I pull something out of the freezer and I think, whoa, I don't remember what this is. I might call someone and have them read the label or the cooking instructions. Sometimes it's really easy to pull out your camera and figure out what you have, but finding the cooking instructions on there are sometimes more difficult. So that is something that I have used them for. And I think that that's one of the great things about them is you can really use them for any particular thing pretty much that you need to. Now, they do have their own rules, but they will tell you what they cannot do if you're asking them to do something they shouldn't be. So let's start then, go into the all about transit, because you are very into this. You know, you're a big part of this. So tell about what is happening here in Minneapolis.
Absolutely. Thank you. So just to provide a little background, at Metro Transit, we know that lack of wayfinding has been a customer pain point and mm-hmm. that this particularly can impact blind and low vision customers. As I mentioned, there can be challenges with things like unknown circumstances like construction or identifying boarding locations in areas where there are a lot of bus stops. And so although we do have a transit information call center with representatives who provide live assistance, they don't have the ability to video chat, and so they don't always know the current street or sidewalk conditions. So we knew there were some limitations and a need to provide more accessible and reliable wayfinding information. So that's why we are piloting Ira. We started piloting the service last June, and we are offering Ira assistance to any customer who wants to use it for free for their entire Metro Transit journey door to door. So it's from when they leave their home to when they get to their stop to when they're on the bus or train to their final destination. If they want to be using the service that entire time, it is free to them during this pilot period.
So just to let everyone know, so like if you are leaving your house, there would be a great thing if you're one of these people that catches the buses at a big bus hub like I used to. You know, you can have 8-9 buses go and sit there and you have no clue which bus is which unless you're running up to each one of them. That's a great place for Ira, is to Absolutely. Be able to read the bus number. And then when you're, you know, Minneapolis has, what is that they say, three seasons or whatever, two seasons, yep. Winter and construction. So construction happens all the time here in the summer and spring and fall. So one of the nice things you can do is when you're walking to your destination is know if there's any construction in front of you. I love when I used to have this deal and they'd forget to put the cones up on the first street crossing. So you'd cross the street and find this barricade or, you know, whatever that would be, oh, there's construction there that you didn't know before you cross the street. So means you'd have to go turn around, wait till the next light and cross back over to figure out, okay, where can I cross that there's no construction? So that's a great help that they can do for you. Go ahead Absolutely. And give us some more info about this. What happens with this period of extension then?
Sure. So we had originally planned to end the pilot period in March, but you know, we've received feedback anecdotally from some of the organizations and individuals that we've been working with throughout this pilot period that due to the more extensive and extended period of pandemic-related issues, there hasn't been as much of a use of transit at this point as people would have thought or would have wanted. So we wanted to make sure we allowed people the opportunity to be able to use the service, especially as the weather, hopefully after this week, gets nicer and the pandemic related restrictions start to subside, that more people will have the opportunity to use the service. So we did extend it through the end of 2022. So it'll be a free offer throughout the rest of this year.
And so when you call Ira, let's say somebody is going out to take their bus, I would encourage you to make sure you know that your bus, the particular bus you're taking, is still running that route, because there have been some route changes. Are they able to look at a map to see where your bus, you know, runs, or is that beyond what their scope and you should be familiar with that?
Yes, they do have that capability. We've provided them with some information. One suggestion I would make, though, if you're still at home and you're still planning your trip, you know, our transit information center is a great resource for quick trip planning assistance. They can help you plan the most efficient trip for your needs. And I can actually provide the phone number. It's 612. Yeah, 612-373-3333. They're experts of the Metro Transit system, so they'd be a great resource for actually planning the trip ahead of time. But once on the trip itself, the IRA agent can certainly help navigate to the correct bus stop, read schedules, that sort of thing.
And can you give that number once more?
Absolutely. 612-373-3333.
And so how long will this extension of the pilot project be running?
It'll be running through the end of December of this year.
Okay, excellent. And what do you do with the numbers that you get, you know, of people that are using this?
Well, we do review them each month, and primarily up to this point, it has mostly informed us about whether or not some more outreach might be needed to help people become more informed of this offer. You know, as I mentioned, we know that between winter and pandemic restrictions, use certainly dropped for the last couple of months, but we're anticipating an increase. And so trying to help spread the word and spread information about the free offer so that more people have an opportunity to use it.
And is there, I mean, I think at the beginning what I was told that there's an idea that if enough people use it, that it may be permanently offered. Did I misunderstand that, or is that still the goal?
Well, we're actually primarily relying on user feedback during after the pilot period to help inform our decision about extending the service longer term. We don't necessarily have a specific baseline of the percentage of customers who may want to use the service to begin with. So rather than relying on numbers only, we really want to gain feedback from customers. So we conducted a few focus group sessions for more in-depth discussions with individuals before the start of the pilot to discuss what the current barriers for utilizing Metro Transit were. And we'll be having post-pilot focus group discussions with those same individuals, as well as, you know, we've been reaching out to various community organizations, Vision Loss Resources, Blind Inc., you know, other community partners who can help encourage their members or customers to try the service. And we'll be working with them to help disseminate a more broad survey to gain feedback that way as well.
And I'm curious to know, is this something that, is IRA doing this with other states, or are we unique in this?
They did have a partnership with MBTA in Boston with their transit system. They did a pilot period as well out there. My understanding is that it went well, but it ended right as COVID started. So they've been on pause a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully more states will be added onto this and we'll be able to do this, because I feel like this would be something extremely beneficial, especially for people who maybe haven't, if you were nervous to travel to begin with and didn't feel quite, you know, secure about knowing what to do if something came up that was difficult for you to handle, that'd be a great, you know, kind of like having a buddy alongside you. What else can you tell us about this?
Sure. Well, I should mention that just to reiterate, not only is the service free from door to door, but it's also available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there are no limitations on how long an individual can use it. So for example, if your Metro Transit journey takes, you know, half an hour or 45 minutes and you want to be connected with an IRA agent throughout that trip, you can certainly do so. And there are also no limitations on how many times an individual can use the free offer. And I can, just to give a little information about how to use that offer, there are a couple ways to do so. First, a customer would need to download the IRA app through their Android or iPhone mobile device and register with their phone number. But once they are ready to go with the app, there are a few ways that they can access our offer. One way is to access the products section of the app, navigate to the products section of the app, and select the Minneapolis-St. Paul Metro Transit free access offer before starting their call with the agent. A second way is, if you're already on a call with an IRA agent, you can let them know that that you're using this call for a Metro Transit trip and that you want to apply the Minneapolis-St. Paul Metro Transit free access offer.
Excellent. And does that help give you tracking info and how often it's used in numbers?
It does. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So that's really as necessary as possible, you should do that then.
Absolutely. And we want to make sure if you're using our Metro Transit service that you are able to do so for free. So
excellent. Well, Bree, I really appreciate that. Is there anything else you could tell us about this, or?
One other thing I wanted to mention is that, if there are folks out there who have not used Metro Transit much, or maybe a little unfamiliar with the service or how to ride, we do have outreach coordinators who offer free personalized training and resources on how to ride buses and trains. and they're available to help train customers with disabilities in person. So I would certainly recommend anyone who might be unfamiliar with how to ride and want some assistance in that to contact our customer service department. And they can be reached at the same number that I mentioned before, which is 612-373-3333.
And, you know, this is, I'm presuming, not applying to Metro Mobility, the other riding, just because it's door-to-door and you don't really have to do much.
Correct. Yeah, this is the scope of this pilot is focused on trying to remove challenges for Metro Transit's fixed route service.
Gotcha. Well, Bree, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. And this has been great. I always appreciate all the stuff you do, and I'm hoping to get out and use some of that great IRA transit myself, because now that COVID is loosening up, that'll be great. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sam.
And this is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. We were just speaking with Bree Grand, and Bree is the project manager of Transit Information of Metro Transit. And if you missed that, you can always hear our archives that are gathered for 2 weeks at a time. And if you don't hit that, well, there's always our podcasts. Our podcasts are many, and I hope that you will go to it anyway and select ones that you maybe haven't heard yet, because there are still quite a few of them. And Mr. Scallon, you are with me?
I am with you.
Ah, excellent. For a minute, I thought you got lost all the way out there in the woods of Stillwater.
I couldn't find that mute button, you know.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. John and I go back to, John used to be from VSA Arts, Minnesota, or VSA Minnesota, whichever you want to call it. That is no more, but that is another story for another time. But now John just makes his way and finds all the stuff that's going on and happening and tells us about it still. So what else are you doing with yourself, John? Anything spectacular?
Well, I found a rescue dog to take care of during COVID, you know, like millions of other people. And
oh, yes.
And forgot to incorporate into my budget how much a rescue dog actually can cost.
Oh, there is that. Imagine that. But, you know, now he keeps you in line.
Yes, and we didn't have to go through a multi-week training session as you and all of your guide dog users have had to do.
That's true.
he would like to be a guide dog, but he's a little bit too short and a little bit too rambunctious for that.
Yeah. Well, it's a very demanding job. But so, what have you got for me today?
Well, what I've been doing since VSA Minnesota closed is working with a group of accessibility coordinators around the state called the Minnesota Access Alliance. And when VSA closed, a number of organizations took over our various projects, and the Minnesota Access Alliance took over the Arts Access calendar that we had done for many years. We had it on our website. Now it's on the MNAA website. VSA used to send a monthly email out about shows that were either ASL interpreted, captioned, audio described, had sensory friendly accommodations, or involved artists with disabilities or topics about disabilities. So the KFAI Disability and Progress Show has been listed forever since you have been carrying it on from Martha Haig. Yes.
Yes. And with a new name, of course.
Yes, with a new name. Yes.
You did change the name.
Do you ever find yourself saying the old one or not yet? Not anymore.
There was a learning curve. Occasionally, I find that when I send the emailers out that I do every week, by the way, everybody who wants to be on the emailer may email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. But occasionally I slip and say and write in the other email address. I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? From years of doing that. So, so it's been a fun change. And I feel like we're able to expand out a little more and, just a different twist to the program.
And how many years has it been now since it's been 1 hour long instead of half an hour?
You know, I should know that, but I don't know if I can remember. It used to be for a long time, it was just a half hour long. And now, oh boy.
4 or 5 years, I think.
Oh, I think it's been more than that, hasn't it? Because, it's been at least 5, I would say. You're probably right, 4 or 5.
The other thing is, research assistant should explore that. And when she finds the answer out, then you treat us all to dinner, Sam.
Oh boy. I knew there was something with this. I knew it. But the
podcasts have really changed the landscape for us too, because people can go back and listen to those anytime.
That is true. And that is, I think, a spectacular thing. And I am working on getting some of the older stuff podcasted, but it's taking a little bit of time. But yes, that's definitely something that I think is, something to be looked at. We are getting more and more each month on our podcasting site. So feel free to check those out. And you can even, tell your smart speaker to listen to the latest podcast and it will play it, whoever your smart speaker is. I don't want to
set podcasts,
smart speaker off, but.
Yeah. So the podcasts go back further than just this year? They go back last year or the year before? Really?
Yes. Yes. And I'm taking things that I am slowly getting things that I had not had on them and putting them on the podcasts. But it does take a little bit. Usually when I take my summer breaks, I take that opportunity to go back and find things that would be excellent to have on the podcast.
And I imagine you're also sending a copy to the Smithsonian Institute and the Minnesota Historical Society as well.
Right. Well, I don't know if they care, but, they'll be in the club.
Anyway, yes. So one of the
things coming up. You must have some listings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of the things coming up is it's an actual event for the Minnesota Access Alliance, because the COVID debacle has kept us from meeting for over 2 years. We're going to have a Zoom session to invite people to tune in to, another Zoom on April 26th. And that's a Tuesday afternoon, actually, at 4:00, just to find out what is this group called Minnesota Access Alliance and how can I benefit from it or whatever. In the past, we did workshops about many different accessibility topics at many different locations. And some of them were virtual. And during COVID, we haven't done anything. It was just too hard. But to find out, if you would be interested in participating in this group, either as a workshop presenter or as a person who gets the monthly emails, or just to keep up with what's happening in the accessibility world and in the arts and culture world. Access Breast does a wonderful job at informing us, and as do the few other disability media like KFAI's Disability in Progress program.
So, John, I have a question about this. So have you guys thought about extending out? I mean, my understanding is it's Minnesota Access, but Are you thinking of maybe extending to other people who might want to do Zoom with you?
Well, as long as they're, you know, we're focused on Minnesota. So,
right.
And we have members from Duluth. We had a member from Moorhead and elsewhere in the state. So if some of the future workshops could be virtual so that, you know, people don't have to drive forever, that would be, I think, a great additional option. And each time we've done one, you know, we've made sure that whatever accessibility accommodations people need, interpreters, captioners, body description, whatever, that those are available. And because some of the organizations that participate are some of the bigger ones, or some of the, you know, the regional arts councils and the state arts board, you know, they want to make sure that these are accessible as well. I don't know whether we invite any Wisconsin folks or not, but, you know, we might learn something from them and they can learn from us.
It's possible. Let's see. And do you have anything else for me?
Yes. So again, that event, if people want to put it on their calendar, or you can go to our website and I can give you that later. But it's Tuesday, April 26th from 4 to 5 o'clock. And again, if people...
Actually, you should give it to us. You should give
the
website.
Oh, I should. I should, yes. Yeah. Okay, where is it here? Well, if you go to calendar, spell out the word calendar, and that's C-A-L-E-N-D-A-R, calendar dot, and the Minnesota abbreviation, M-N, and then access.org. So calendar.mnaccess.org. And we've got events from now through the end of the summer posted already.
Wow.
Including okay. each month, of course, each week, we've got the Disability in Progress radio program. Immediately after this program is over tonight, there's a Zoom of the monthly Open Flow program, which is a time that artists with disabilities get together and share whatever recent work they've done. If they've done something visual or a play or music, we've been sharing that virtually on Zoom for the last 2 years. Before that, we met in person. We're hoping to meet in person in the future, but maybe we'll always have a virtual element to it so that we can include people from Greater Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, meeting in person, there are some things that are lost, I think, when you don't, but there are also things gained. I think meeting virtually, certainly the transit situation for people with disabilities goes away. Time in general, not having to allocate that time that you're traveling is a big deal. But I know there are pros and cons to each, so.
So if people are thinking of doing something this weekend, a couple of the things that I might mention on Saturday, April 9th, there's at the Orchestra Hall, there's something called a relaxed family concert about music around the globe. Oh, it's cool. Got ASL interpreting, it's got real-time captioning, and for anybody, you know, on the autism spectrum or with other disabilities, they are incorporating lots of family-friendly, relaxed situations. So you can leave the auditorium at any time. It's just a wonderful opportunity for relaxed, unstressed times. And a number of organizations have taken on this sensory-friendly approach with lots of programs. Just a few coming up. So there's the Orchestra Hall, there's Walker Arts Center. They do a sensory-friendly Sunday, every Sunday, not every Sunday, selected Sunday morning, so that the whole center is closed except for people going on this sensory-friendly tour. The Stages Theater Company has a sensory-friendly performance of their upcoming show, What Do You Do With an Idea? Even in White Bear Lake, a community theater, Lakeshore Players, has a sensory-friendly The Little Mermaid by Disney coming up on April 28th. the Capri Theater has this has never happened before, as many with as many sensory friendly events. I'm just really excited for those folks to finally be able to go and enjoy the theater and art.
And why do you think it's taken till now for this to happen?
Well, it's possible that a few organizations like the Autism Society started doing some training, and then during the recess that we got during COVID, maybe some of the staffs were able to say, look, should we try to explore how to reach this extra audience? And maybe they did some of their research during the 2 years of COVID, and now finally they can do something with it.
Right.
So that's exciting. You know, the Guthrie Theater, even the biggest in the state, has been doing sensory friendly performances, and it's a big deal.
We're speaking with John Scallon, who has been telling us some of the local things that are happening in Minnesota, specifically kind of the Twin Cities area right now. And we have room for a couple more, I think, John.
Okay. Well, continuing with this weekend, besides the Century Friendly Sunday at the Walker on Sunday morning, it's from 8 to 11, so I guess you have to be an early bird for that, but that's at the Walker. The History Theater has been one of...
You have to be an early bird, John. Everyone else is usually up by then, but that's okay.
Right.
Go ahead.
The History Theater is doing a play called Parks, Portrait of a Young Artist, which is about Gordon Parks, who was a wonderful photographer and a movie maker. They are providing audio description, captioning, and ASL interpreting at a number of their performances. So the website has the details for those. This Saturday, it's captioned and Saturday afternoon, and I believe... interpreted on Sunday afternoon. The new play at the Mixed Blood Theater, which also is one of the theaters that has been a leader in accessibility under the leadership of Jack Ruhler. This is Jack Ruhler's final production that he has directed. It's called Imagine a U.S. Without Racism. And every performance will be captioned. Every performance will have recorded audio description. With the first performance on April 9th being actually live audio described. They have a tactile touch tour available. They've got various performances that are ASL interpreted. It runs from April 9th through May 1st. So I think that would really be a cool opportunity to see Jack's last play, Imagine a U.S. Without Racism, which of course is hugely topical.
Yes, hugely. I'm curious to know, with that recorded audio description, how do they make it match up?
Well, that's the challenge. But because it's a professional theater, the actors pretty much are not encouraged, but they do get the lines pretty much the same every time. And yes, you want it to be vibrant and alive. And sometimes I've listened a few times, and once in a while it's a little bit off, but then it gets back on track. And it's much better, I think, to have it available than to have it absolutely perfect.
Right. Yeah.
It's, you know, it would be worth it for you to attend if you have vision loss to attend one of these and then give your feedback to the theater to say, this worked for you, this did not work for me, etc. It would be, they would really value that feedback.
I think we have time for one more piece, one more thing, and then we have to go to some mini culture pieces.
Yes. Well, for folks who like the big touring shows, the Orpheum Theater in Minneapolis has a touring production called The Prom. And on Sunday, April 17th at 6:30, it will be audio described. That afternoon, it will be ASL interpreted. And the previous Thursday night, it'll be captioned. So The Prom is a big show that's making its way around the country. And it would be kind of a fun event to see that.
Excellent. Well, thank you, John. I always appreciate when you come on. I'm going to have to start having you on more, so be ready.
I'll get that virtual popcorn ready too.
All right, all right. I'll flash it so you can see the bag and drool about it, and then, you know, I don't have smell-o-vision, so sorry. We'll work on that.
Good.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you and Charlene. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. This has been Disability and Progress. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Miguel Vargas was my engineer for tonight. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Thank you so very much for joining us. Good night.
KFAI.org.